Welcome to Clean Processes with Jerry. This podcast is dedicated to building an online community of like-minded individuals and businesses in the chemical and cleaning industry. We will share ideas, tips, solutions, and stories to solve problems and expand our markets. Please join me every week when we introduce a special guest that just might be you. I work for Chem Station of Boston, where I'm based in New England. I also run the blog, Hospitality Cleaning 101. If you ever have questions, feel free to reach out and we'll answer on a future podcast if you like. At the end of the show, I will include my contact information as well as my guest. Today, we have Stephen Ashkin, who is considered the father of green cleaning, author of Green Cleaning for Dummies, and founder of the Ashkin Group. Welcome, Stephen.
It's my pleasure to be here with you today, Jerry.
Thank you. I had gotten an advanced copy of an article you have written for ISSA Today for the March-April edition. I do plan on giving a link to this later in my show notes. Steve, a question. I know you're trying to redefine cleaning for health. Would you share your thoughts with me as why you think this is important?
Well, again, first, thank you for having me on today. And, you know, I think like most of us, I'm tired of talking about COVID, you know, and for two main reasons. One is because we sort of figured out early on that COVID is transmitted through inhalation.
Right.
Right. And that cleaning and disinfecting and electrostatic sprayers and all this kind of stuff, the fact is, had very little to do with protecting people from COVID. But what it did do was help us remember how important cleaning really is, right? And that we really can make a difference in building occupants' health and performance. And the reason that I want to talk about redefining cleaning for health is because I don't want to go back to where we were pre-COVID, where basically the only thing that mattered was how much people were paying and, you know, whether or not the chairs were pushed under desks and under conference room tables and there was toilet paper in the bathrooms.
Right.
You know, we need to remind ourselves and our customers how important cleaning is and that they have options and that we need to do a better job and learn the lessons from COVID, such as paying attention to high touch points, right? Trying to really understand frequencies, trying to understand and remind our customers that cleaning really does protect occupant health, occupant performance, and these other attributes. And the other final thing is to remind ourselves that everyone is uniquely different, right? People have different vulnerabilities. And we also need to clean not only to protect our workers, but because some people in the building are more sensitive and more vulnerable than others. And we need to pay attention to those things to really get the best outcomes that we're looking for.
And how do you feel, what is your best recommendations of how we in the field start with this?
Well, what we're really trying to suggest is the difference really between cleaning for appearances and cleaning for health is actually making sure we're removing the soils and the contaminants that can affect people's health, right? Because the concept's been around for 30 years now, right? 40
right.
years.
Correct.
So my recommendation is let's start to really figure out how to objectively measure cleaning performance and to actually start applying technology to make sure that the facilities we're cleaning, the surfaces we're cleaning are actually clean.
Now, would that be because I have some knowledge of food processing facilities because I sell to a fair amount? Would you be then looking to do ATP in some of the like nursing homes and schools?
Well, let me ask you, what do you think about that?
I think it would be ideal. I really do. And I had only sold to hospitality. I'd only sold to restaurants, hotels, nursing homes. Then I got into the arena with food processing, and I never even knew the technology that was available. And I have had people contact me and try to ask me to come back to the hospitality industry of selling. I don't want to go back. And the reason being is I love the higher regard of cleaning and food processing. I can go in with my 40 years experience and they're going to listen and they're going to take suggestions and take notes. They're just not looking at bottom line. They're looking at the whole arena because I sell a lot of breweries. If they have a bad batch of beer, it could really hurt them financially for, you know, a month or two probably to recover. I believe the idea is fantastic.
You know, if you think about it, these kind of technologies, whether it's ATP meters and other technology, has been used for years, not only in food processing, but in healthcare, pharmaceutical manufacturing, and other high risk, right, types of facilities.
Right.
So it's about time that we figure out how to adopt these into the routine janitorial, you know, in our schools, in our office buildings. You know, there's plenty of places where we really can affect people's health. And these days, the technology is available, and it's not just ATP testers. For example, we spent a lot of time during COVID thinking about disinfectants.
Right.
Right.
And in large facilities, as you know, they buy their disinfectants as concentrates because it saves them a lot of money, right? It reduces the cost by a factor of 10, if not more, compared to buying the same product as a ready-to-use product.
Right.
So what we don't talk about is those dilution control devices, frankly, in many cases, are not that accurate. Right. We're not talking about peristaltic pumps and the other things that can be extraordinarily accurate. But the typical Venturi type dispensers we use are not accurate. They're affected by water pressure. They're affected by contaminants that may be in the concentrate. They're affected by temperature. So how come we're not testing the output of those devices, especially on disinfectants, to make sure that they're diluting the concentrates properly? You know, and the test strips cost like less than 5 cents each and takes under a minute. So why aren't we doing smart stuff like this? An ATP meter can cost $2,000 to $3,000. I get it. It's expensive. A test strip for a disinfectant is 5 cents.
Right.
And we're not doing anything.
I've seen it more than my fair share in the different industries where you assist the customer to get the test strips and they're off in the corner, they're outdated, they're worn, they're wet, they haven't been used properly. And they have them because they say they can tell somebody, an inspector, oh, I have them in my inventory, but frequently they don't even know how to use them. I totally agree 100%.
And shame on us.
Most
because it's our job to be the professionals and to educate people how to do these things. This is a failure of us. And this is why I want to redefine cleaning for health and get back into measuring actual performance. And here's another good example for you, Jerry. How do we know when a mop bucket's water needs to be replenished? Oh, that's really nasty. It's ugly. It's black. There are technologies available, turbidity meters, that have been used in the environmental area to test water quality for, again, years. Why aren't we actually testing it? We can't just say, well, after 3 rooms, let's go ahead and dump it, or 5 rooms, or 10 rooms, or 1 room. That's all arbitrary. Because if something happened in that room, regardless of historically, we've tested it, we've looked at it, we concluded it's 3 rooms. But if something spills on the floor, if there's some other problem, why aren't we just testing the mop bucket water? You know, why aren't we testing for floor slipperiness?
Very
why
true.
Aren't we testing if our vacuum cleaners are working properly? You know, this is 2022, and we're using virtually no technology to test cleaning performance, and we need to start doing that, or we're going to go back to the lowest cost wins. Whoever is the cheapest service provider, we're going to do it with them because they all promise they know how to clean. As professionals, we need to do better.
I totally agree with you. One last question, and I have an answer myself, and I'm going to say it's probably going to be the same as what you're going to say. Who pays for this? Who pays for the test kits and the equipment and things like that? It's a big question.
It is a big question. And my answer is pretty clear. The customer should pay.
Most definitely.
Let's make no mistake about it. The building owner is going to benefit. The property management company is going to benefit. The occupants of the building are going to benefit. They should pay for it. They should write it, the requirements into their contracts, so everyone bidding on the property has the same requirements for the technology. They also should make sure they know how to use it and know how to report on it so they can really sit down and objectively talk about quality control related issues. But make no mistake about it, the facilities should pay for these things. And overall, it is not that expensive for them because we can amortize the devices over years.
Most
definitely.
But the
output and the quality will be so much better. But without a doubt, this should not be just another burden for our contractors. This should be something, if we're creating value for our customers, then they should pay for it.
I totally agree. If you don't mind, let me add one thing. I have been doing this for 40 years. 40 years ago, every chemical company gave every customer everything they ever wanted with test kits and stuff like that. And that's the reason they ended up off into the corner. They couldn't find them and stuff like that. Now the rules are changing where they should pay for them. And you know what? When they pay for them, it's like having skin in the game. They take care of them. They use them. They learn about them, and they take ownership of it. As long as they're getting it free, no one wins on that formula. So with that, I want to thank you for joining me today. I will put in the show notes your contact information, but what's the best way to get a hold of you if somebody would like to reach out? Would it possibly be LinkedIn, or would you rather someone email you?
Well, either way, either through LinkedIn, or they can email me at steve@ashkengroup.com. And, you know, this issue of how we're going to objectively measure cleaning performance, we're just getting started.
Oh, I agree.
If any of your listeners have some ideas of different test methodologies, how to do these things, please send them along, right? This is, you know, I don't sell devices. I don't provide janitorial services. It's not like I'm looking to make a buck doing all of this. So I'm happy to take all the information and use my platform to be able to help drive this into the marketplace and prepare us for the future. And one last thing, if I might, I encourage all of your listeners to take a look at the new resource that the U.S. Green Building Council has developed to be able to measure cleaning performance. So we're really trying to help be transparent, to put it out there and show protocols that not only here's how it works, but here's how to do it cost effectively. So we got to be sensitive to cost issues, but I think we are smart enough to be able to make a meaningful difference and to really prepare our industry for the future post-COVID.
I appreciate the conversation. I could talk to you for hours. I hope you have a great day, and it was my pleasure having you on today.
Jerry, it's my pleasure as well. Thank you very much. Take care.
Take care. Bye now.
Wow, what a great interview. I wish to thank each of the listeners today for joining me as we are slowly adding subscribers to our show. If you have any questions concerning this podcast or others, please reach out to me at jerry@hospitalitycleaning101.com. Have a great day. Continue to wash your hands 20 seconds and stay safe. Bye.